Good morning, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. Welcome to Spectrum West for a Thursday, the 12th day of September 2013. This is one of those shows, enjoyable and interesting and broad-shouldered, where music meets theater meets rodeo. Yes, today we'll meet the Chiaroscuro Trio, and we'll sample their artistry, viola, piano, and contralto, two UWEC mentors married in their spare time, and a colleague from Illinois from a recently released and fun CD called New People, selections written expressly for this unique combination. Jim Oliver is here with another feature about a stage production getting set to open at the Phipps Center for the Arts, and that is in Hudson, of course. More music with a group begun by another bonded couple, Ed Willett and Cheryl Leah. They've entertained as the duo Chance for a while. Now Chance has doubled in size, and the quartet takes the stage of the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls Saturday evening. But let's christen this voyage, this vocal voyage, right here. As is often the case, when we're looking for things to talk about and people to talk with, Western Wisconsin seldom fails to provide them. But then I was appropriately reminded that we at Spectrum West had yet to do a story on a rodeo. Hey, Western Wisconsin, let's see you come through on that one. Aha! Gotcha. What? You have one? In September? Get out of here. At UW River Falls. Well, I'll be a blue-nosed gopher. I guess we'd better talk with the Falcon Rodeo coach and advisor then. What's his name? Todd Kirschbaum. Okay, let's do it. You know, I can't tell you how invigorating it is for me to know that among all the fluff and electronic noise and fast lane indulgence, that there's still a rodeo in River Falls. I mean, next year you're going to celebrate its 50th birthday. There's a rodeo club at a major Wisconsin university. I just say, way to go, you guys.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, we're proud of it.
Yeah, is it weird for me to feel so excited about this? Probably not, because you've been doing it for a while.
I'm still excited about it.
Are you?
Even though, like you said, the next year is our 50th, there's still plenty of people around that are surprised when they hear that we're having a rodeo.
I'll bet it's a huge breath of fresh air for young people in River Falls. I mean, this rodeo I read is student-run. Tell me about that.
We get very little support from the university, either physically or financially. So it's up to the students to get out and raise the money to put it on. It costs in the neighborhood of $20,000, $22,000 to put it on for the weekend.
Hmm.
So they have to go out and raise the sponsorship money for it. And if it wasn't for the students, we wouldn't be having it.
Are these just students who are involved? Is it part of their education, or do you get students from within the university who just say, I don't care that I'm studying philosophy, I want to help out with the rodeo?
Right, yeah, it's campus-wide. A majority of our members are from the Cafes College.
What did you say? What was that?
Cafes.
What is that?
The College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences. But we have them from all over the campus. They just have an interest in horses, and they show up.
Is this just another professional rodeo on some circuit, or is there a special flair to the Falcon edition?
We're a member of the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association.
Okay.
So there's colleges, you know, all over the country. Our region is the Great Plains region, which covers Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, Iowa, and Nebraska. So there'll be schools coming from all those states.
I'm going to take a wild guess here and say that maybe there aren't members out east?
No, we're basically the farthest school east.
All right, so it is a Western-type deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Western and Southern. I guess Louisiana has some schools, so technically I guess they're a little farther east than we are.
I noticed in the release that they do hire professionals. Is that to just help you put it on, or do you have like a professional guy that's on the microphone and stuff?
Yeah, we have a professional announcer.
Okay.
Also the stock contractor, and then, of course, our bullfighters are professional.
Do you have students competing?
Yes.
What kind of stuff do they compete in?
This year I've got students barrel racing, bull riding, goat tying, and breakaway roping. 28 students that are entered in it.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
We have close to 400 that are coming from the other schools. Ours is the first of the season, and then we have 10 rodeos throughout the year, you know, at the different schools.
Mm-hmm.
Then in May is when we'll wrap up the season. The top three in each event will advance to the college national finals. They're held in June in Casper, Wyoming.
Do schools bid to get that big final, or is it always in Casper?
No. The Casper Visitors and Convention Bureau, they signed a contract with the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association to do it through, I believe it's 2022.
So they've got it for a while.
It's there for a while.
Yeah. We're talking with Todd Kirschbaum. He is the UW River Falls Rodeo Coach / Advisor, which I can't wait to ask him about. Now, your rodeo is on the campus farm. Describe that to us, if you will.
Well, we have two farms on the campus. One is basically an equine farm, and the other one is cattle, pigs, and sheep. We're on the equine farm. The arena that is there was originally built in 1964 by students. 7 years ago, we had to replace it. Again, the students in the club and team stepped up. We went and borrowed $80,000 to buy a new arena and build it ourselves. When you hear student run, it is completely on the students.
No kidding. How many spectators does it hold?
For the weekend, and that will have probably 6,000 to 8,000 people within the three performances.
Cool. As I said, I'm captivated by your title, Rodeo Coach and Advisor. Are there students actually taking courses in rodeo, or is this extracurricular?
This is extracurricular at River Falls. Some of the schools we compete against, they have a rodeo course, and they offer full ride scholarships to go there in rodeo.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
We lose a lot of good kids from Wisconsin to out of state because they go on scholarships.
Who is perceived as like the top dog in college rodeo?
For our region, South Dakota State University and Black Hills State University.
The biggie nationally, I would think it's probably somewhere in Wyoming or Montana or
Washington State. They have a really good team nationally. It varies from year to year. They usually have the same few that are in there for team points anyway.
So it's a team sport, but it's all individual performers?
They get both individual and team points.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yep. For an official team, a team consists of six guys and four girls. So like I said, I have 28 entered for this weekend. I have to narrow that down so that only those 10 individuals would compete for team points, but everybody competes for individual points.
Okay.
Individual points are basically what get you to the national finals.
Okay. Have we had any famous cowboys or cowgirls that have won nationals from UW River Falls?
We have Rachel Tiedelman is from Rio, Wisconsin, and she won the national title three times as a barrel racer. One of them was from River Falls, and then the scholarship money came from out of state, so we lost her junior and senior year. But
that's too bad.
That happens a lot. If a school that does offer a scholarship sees that we have somebody really good, they know that we can't offer a scholarship because of the way the UW system is ran, they step right up to offer them.
Well, I think they ought to change that. I mean, they offer full rides in a lot of the other sports. What the heck?
Yeah, and part of it is because we're not a Division I school. If we were Division I, we could offer a rodeo scholarship, but UW system will only allow Division I schools to offer athletic scholarships.
Any other schools in Wisconsin have a rodeo team?
No, there's some other schools that are independent schools. I believe there will be two or three girls coming from UW-Platteville, one from UW-Superior. As far as an established team, they don't. UW-Stout used to, but that was several years ago.
Do they ride for their university, or do they ride as individuals?
No, they have to ride for their university. In order to be an official team, you have to have at least 10 members. If they don't have 10 members, it's an independent school then.
All right, understood. Now, what are the proceeds used for when you make money on this rodeo?
That helps part of it pays for the rodeo.
Sure.
That whatever sponsorships don't cover. And then the rest of it we use as an operating budget to go down the road, pulling 28 horses down the road. And some of the schools we go to are 14 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there for 3 to 4 days. It gets pretty expensive. As it is, each team member, it costs them, spending on their event, between $1,000 and $1,500 a year to rodeo.
Hmm.
So, I mean, they have to be dedicated to it in order to go down the road.
Any of these young people looking to become pros when they get out of school?
Yeah, so some of them are already riding in the pro division, so that they're allowed to do that. You know, some of them it's just a hobby, but other ones, yeah, they're looking to make a career out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't tell you how happy I am that I decided to devote a segment of Spectrum West to this topic, because it's fascinating stuff. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I just have one more question. Can I buy a rodeo shirt?
Yes, you can.
Oh, cool. What do they look like?
Well, we have several different designs. They have different events on them. Like, if you're into bull riding, there's one that has a bull rider on it. And you know, they say UW, River Falls, Falcon Frontier Days.
Are they Western shirts or T-shirts?
No, they're T-shirts.
They are, okay. Is there a website where I can see the design?
No, there isn't.
Okay. How about a website for the rodeo?
You can go to the university website and search rodeo, and that'll take you to it.
Todd, thanks so much. It's been fun. I appreciate it.
We're also on Facebook, too.
You are? Okay, cool.
Yep.
Have yourself a great weekend. That's
you, too.
That's pretty neat. You keep in touch.
I will.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The website is www.uwrf.edu. And, yes, search rodeo. You'll get all kinds of information. I feel my cowboy voice coming on. If you're on the lean side of plans for the next couple days, this is something your whole brood will enjoy. So saddle up and ride on over to River Falls. Take in the 49th Annual Falcon Frontier Days Rodeo, Friday night 7, Saturday 1:30 and 7 p.m. By the way, it all began in 1964. David Stafford organized the UWRF Rodeo Club, and in less than 1 year, the club included over 50 members. How cool is that?
Support for WPR comes from Ken Vance Audi, featuring the restyled 2013 Audi A4, equipped with Audi Connect, online Google-enhanced navigation, access to local information, and Wi-Fi. KenVance.com.
Support also comes from Simply Done in Downsville, a place for gifts, ideas, and space. Home of Dunn County Pottery, featuring wood-fired pottery in a local and fair trade gallery. Details at simply-dunn.com.
Support also comes from Festival Foods, dedicated to making grocery shopping easier for all shoppers with the introduction of pink, yellow, and green boomerang buy tags throughout the store. Festival Foods, a Wisconsin-grown company.
The trio is called chiaro oscuro. That means light versus dark, an artistic term. And it actually does describe their mission in playing together. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a whole lot of musical expression. Their CD is called New People, a collection of original works by 5 separate composers. At least a couple commissioned for the CD, but all providing amazing charts for this unconventional combination of instruments, piano, viola, and voice. We've talked with Aurelian Petio in the past. He's the viola. His better half, Elizabeth, is well known as an educator, mentor in performing contralto, and Yuko Kato collaborates on piano and joined us via phone from Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. The conversation began with remembering our past conversation and our reference to the viola. We've talked about the Rodney Dangerfield of stringed instruments.
Oh no.
Okay.
He said that he wasn't going to respond to viola jokes.
It gets no respect. But there is a song on the CD, and in that song, the voice, in this case Elizabeth, not just recognizes the viola, but doesn't hold back on letting us know how hot the viola and the violist is. Plus, it has a sultry Latin feel to it, so the viola has its day on your CD.
That it does, and we chose that song purposely for that reason.
Yeah. You know, in many ways, it reflects almost the way we met, because we met through playing. You know, she was singing an opera, I was in the pit, and she started singing, and she blew me away,
okay.
And then, you know, she started discovering the viola, and so, you know, it's not always that we find songs that actually, you know, defend the viola and promote it as, what is it, the Ayatollah of the viola and the viola as a god or something. It's really funny. It's totally tongue-in-cheek, but we wanted to include it on the CD.
If the viola needs a defense, you said.
I don't think it does anymore. There's so many great violists and so many great works for viola now. You know, I think the viola jokes are stuff of the past.
And Yuko, you chose the safe instrument.
The piano. That's right.
Well, good for you. And a well-accepted instrument it is. But welcome to you on the telephone. How did you meet these guys?
We used to be colleagues here at Southern Illinois University.
Oh, okay.
And I guess that's how we got to know each other. And then subsequently, they moved away to Wisconsin, but we wanted to continue playing together.
And you just happen to be the best piano player they know?
She is. Hands down. Well, you know, I have to say, because Yuko is not going to say that. The way a trio works is you have three different people who come together and have to think almost as one entity.
Okay.
And a lot of times you have pianists who play, and they might be trained to be soloists, and they know all the concerto repertoire.
Sure. Okay.
And but Yuko is also a fantastic collaborator. And when we play, it's not Elizabeth and Aurélien and then Yuko in the background. It's really all part of the same narrative and same storytelling. And she's incredible to work with, and I think our friendship also comes out in our performance and on the CD, because we're really good buddies, and obviously I'm married to Elizabeth as well, so we're very close to each other.
That makes sense. Now, the CD includes works by five composers. Did they actually write all these compositions just for these three instruments?
Yes, absolutely.
They did.
Yes, we have, in fact, two works that were commissioned for the CD, specifically for this project. So Rob Diemer's Erotica set, as well as Graham Reynolds' Jabberwocky.
And so we don't do transcriptions. They're all original works for our instrumentation.
Wow. So how did you happen upon these arrangements? And Yuko, you jump in whenever you feel like it. We don't want to have you alienated.
Well, actually, while Aurélien was talking, I wanted to also mention that we ourselves are surprised at how much repertoire there is for this combination.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. I think when we started out, we really didn't have that much of an idea. But definitely recently, Aurélien has put up a lot of the repertoire available on our website as well. And even when I see it, I'm surprised, actually, to find how much of it is out there. So there's still a lot for us to explore. And I think we also want to share it with people, since it is a little bit of an unusual combination.
You know, we really feel it's music that a lot of people don't know. And it's just really beautiful. I mean, you listen to the CD, it's, you might agree, it's very varied. You know, it's everybody has their own idea of what, you know, classical music is or chamber music is. But we go from, you know, very jazzy things and very, you know, humorous things to very deep and sometimes almost, you know, quirky and arcane things that we welcome on the CD. And it's to showcase the whole range of what chamber music can communicate and what we can do as musicians and individual voices of the composers.
Now, on last week's show, in the preview, I believe I called you, among other things, daring. And I wondered if the word daring was a good word for the kinds of things that you've taken on in this CD. It felt daring to me. Or is it a musician's job, basic makeup, to be bold and adventurous?
Well, I think one of the things that we're looking to achieve with our trio is to not only promote the traditional repertoire that there is out there and that is well known for our particular instrumentation, but also new sorts of things that we can do and sort of outside of the box thinking, not only in our performance, but in the repertoire that we perform.
I think also, you know, it's not necessarily daring. I mean, we take choices unabashedly with the repertoire we want to promote and defend. So we're equally at ease with, you know, Brahms and Bridge and other very romantic pieces. And, you know, one of the commissions we have on the CD is something called Erotica, which is based on erotic and sometimes very suggestive poems. And in a way, it's really, really fun to be able to maneuver that and to go beyond any expectations people might have when they pick up the CD or when they see us. And I think then the persons who need to be daring are the audience members.
Okay.
Sometimes it just takes one step into the concert hall or one listening to a track on the web and be like, hey, this is not at all what I expected. And this is, you know, cool and different and quirky and weird and passionate and engaging. And
do you think the songs were written to push limits?
I'm not sure. I think surely the Michael Colgrass and the Diemer Erotica, as well as the New People set, were definitely written with the idea of pushing limits.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the texts we have are, the birds and the bees, and we're going to love each other, and then we're going to die, and everything. You know.
Yeah.
But we told them we want something that's really funny and really different, and we suggested a couple of erotic poems that we knew of. So there's one called Two Orgasms, so it's a song, an ode to orgasms. One is called Bed Music, which is a kind of a jazzy, funky thing. Mm-hmm. And then another one about poorly transcribed erotica. So it's not for the faint of heart, but it's really fun.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we necessarily do things to be daring. Like, that's not the reason we do certain things. But I think we kind of pursue things we're interested in. And part of that does have to do with trying new things. So working with composers on, you know, new music, or playing the classics as well. And I think there's room for everything. If people want to think of us as daring, that's great. I also really like Erlene's point of the audience kind of being daring to come and hear us, because I don't think they know what to expect a lot of the time. We do tend to perform a lot of new music, in which case they've never heard it before. And I think as a trio for, you know, voice, viola, and piano, that's unusual in itself. So they kind of don't know what they're getting into when they come to our concerts. And so, I would say the audience has to be pretty daring as well.
I mean, forgive me for being flabbergasted at this CD. I just love it. I think it's just cool. It's just different than most things I've ever listened to. But again, I might just be a sheltered guy. Elizabeth Petiot, Aurelien Petiot, and Yuko Kato are with us. They are also known as the Chiaroscuro. I have to puff up and say that. I don't know how else to say it. The CD's called New People, Contemporary American Works for Voice, Viola, and Piano. Since Yuko is joining us long distance, I'll ask this of her. It seems to me, knowing a little bit about music, that just the act of playing in this CD is a challenge, because you don't have a conductor, and there's a lot of staccato, and there's a lot of offbeat stuff. Is it tough to play this stuff, or do you guys just know each other well enough?
It's probably a little bit of both. Okay. We do have to rehearse to get those things to exactly where we want them, mm-hmm. but I think now we've been playing 3 years, I think, since 2010, so a lot of that has become sort of second nature to us as well. And it's always a little bit different when we're adding new repertoire. We'll have to kind of work those things out.
You know, and maybe I should replace the word daring with enthusiastic, because that's probably more of what you are. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, it must be tough to record and edit a CD like this, because you not only have to make it sound good, you have to satisfy and justify your enthusiasm. You have to be enthusiastic as you're recording it. And as you're editing, you have to say, does that sound enthusiastic?
For us, it's not hard, I think, to be enthusiastic. Okay. We love the music. We love our instruments.
We need to watch you play this stuff, well, as well as hear you play.
Anytime. So we're going to have some concerts in Chippewa Valley region and in St. Paul and Chicago in the spring.
Okay.
In the meantime, we have tons of YouTube videos on our website,
okay.
chiaroscurotrio.com. And we just love the music. We're very passionate about it. We love to play together. And we really love to communicate with the audiences. You know, a lot of times when you go to classical music concerts, there's kind of a distance. We talk to the audience. We approach it almost like a jazz combo concert, where, you know, the audience participation is welcome. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the pieces. We talk about, you know, the creative process and what it is to rehearse together and how we put it together. To go back to the recording, you know, what we had to do was to be really, really focused, because you have very little time in the recording studio, because it's really expensive, and also because of the fact that we're dealing with voice, and the fact that a voice can wear out really easily and really quickly, which is rarely the case with Elizabeth, but we had to make sure that we had really good tracks right away and with very few edits. So a lot of what you hear on the CD is usually pretty much long takes.
Is it all nuts and bolts, or is there some improvisation?
Well, particularly for the Jabberwocky song by Graham Reynolds, he, when he wrote this song and gave it to us, he encouraged us to do improvisation with it. So there are some sounds that particularly Aurelien is making, and I don't know, Yuko, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're doing some things too. Sometimes there's some notes or some vocal, you know, again, sounds that I'm making that aren't necessarily written on the page. And so it's all about just telling the story in that particular song.
Which, by the way, is a fantastic setting. If people know the Jabberwocky from Lewis Carroll, from the Alice in Wonderland books, it's incredible, because now I can't read the poem without actually hearing this jazzy, funky music on top of it. Mm-hmm.
Where the borough goes. His vorpal sword in hand, long time a manxome, for he sought, so rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in offish thought he stood, a jabberwock with eyes aflame, him whiffling through the tulgey wood, and burbled as it came. One jabberwock, jabberwock, jabberwock,
people have to know how to get this CD. How do they get it?
Well, we've got a website, chiaroscurotrio.com. Okay. There you can find out more information about the CD itself, about us. You can listen to certain tracks, and you can also buy the CD through that website.
And you can also find it in normal retailers. You can find it on Amazon, on Best Buy, Barnes & Nobles.
Locally, you can buy it at the Volume 1 store.
And you did say that you promise you will be performing for us.
We're booked for Chicago, St. Paul, and Eau Claire in the spring.
Thanks, guys, for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you.
Again, the website is Chiaroscuro, and that's spelled Chiaroscuro, trio.com. You can also get their tunage on Spotify. I think it's on iTunes now as well. And yes, I did exercise some creative license by editing the Jabberwocky tune to make some room. So my apologies to the artist, who I'm sure noticed immediately, and to the composer, who I don't think was listening. Spectrum Memos this morning. Tomorrow and Saturday, it's the Storytelling Festival for all ages at UW Eau Claire. Friday's event begins at 7 p.m. at the Davies Center. Saturday, it's the third annual Hogs and Hops Beer and Barbecue Fest at the Country Jam Grounds in Eau Claire, a day of music, food, and more. The Eau Claire Express is involved. Partial proceeds will benefit the Hands Foundation. Rosewater and Lost Highway provide the music. It all begins at 3:30 p.m. The Baltimore Auger House in Eau Claire presents Between the Coasts, featuring interviews with 12 Norwegians who emigrated to the U.S. Grand opening is Friday the 13th at 3:30 p.m. It will be presented through October 20th. Saturday night, 7:30, the Sing-Along Power Ballads at the State Theater in Eau Claire. WPR, a proud sponsor. Now through October 18th, the Janet Carson Gallery at the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center features the exhibit Rob Price, A Drawing Perspective, 1968 to 2013. There's an artist reception this evening, Thursday, at 6 o'clock. Well, this week, Jim Oliver heads west to Hudson and the beautiful Phipp Center for the Arts for a look at their newest production and a conversation with its thoughtful director.
Becky's New Car, a comedy by Stephen Dietz, will open Friday, September 13th at the Phipp Center for the Arts in Hudson. The play will run weekends through September 29th. Joining us to talk about Becky's New Car is the director, Carrie Steinbach. Welcome to Spectrum West.
Thank you. Fun to have this opportunity.
On first glance, when I looked at the stuff that came out about the play, I almost inferred that it was a farce, but it's not, is it? Tell us about the play.
Well, actually, it's interesting that you came up with that idea, because there are somewhat farcical elements to what is going on here when you think about kind of these mistaken impressions that happen between the characters. At least one point in the play, we kind of jump into a farcical rate of performance, just jumping from scene to scene. A lot of times when you think about classic farce, you think about characters running in and out of doorways and things happening very quickly. And there is a point in the second act of the play where Becky is running from scene to scene and literally almost can't keep up with the pace of her life and the pace of the play. Scenes will start without her being in the scene, and she'll have to run to another part of the stage to find her way. And it's a really great illustration of kind of the lack of control that she finds herself having over her own life. So there are some very farcical elements to what is going on here, but probably most people would refer to it as serial comedy or dramedy or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sort of takes place in a new car dealership and used car dealership.
There are three main settings that are all on stage at the same time. It's Becky's living room, the car dealership in which she is a title clerk, and then the third place is kind of the terrace of the wonderful house of this millionaire that she has met. And occasionally we find ourselves also in a fourth location in a car as well.
So the millionaire comes and starts making some moves on Becky. Is that kind of the way it works?
That's correct. The millionaire comes into her workplace and meets her, and through some misunderstandings that she neglects to kind of clear up, assumes that she is a widow, is very interested in Becky, and she continues to let those misunderstandings go, largely because of some dissatisfaction with her own life, and this is something interesting and new, and I think she's just interested in not feeling invisible, like probably a lot of women at her point in life can feel sometimes.
Sure. Now, you mentioned the different settings there. I read a review of another production where it was done in the round. How is your stage? Do you have three sets side by side on stage, or how does that work?
Yes, they're a little offset from each other. We use different levels as far as, you know, platform heights, which helps, but the living room, which is where probably most of the action takes place, is kind of centrally located, and then off to the right and the left at different levels are the two other areas, the workspace and the terrace. And we're working from a more traditional stage, a proscenium-type stage, rather than an arena or in the round. Yeah, it's a really great set design that allows us to just kind of fluidly move from one space to the other, with a lot of help from lights helping direct the audience to what the next scene is.
One interesting aspect that I ran across was that Becky's new car is a bit of a throwback to the funding of the arts in an earlier age. Stephen Dietz was commissioned to write the play by a private benefactor, a patron of the arts of sorts. Tell us about that.
Yes, I am blanking on the couple's name, but a benefactor of a theater in the Seattle area asked Stephen Dietz to create a new piece of art as a birthday gift for his wife, and he put absolutely no restrictions on Stephen Dietz as far as subject matter or content of the play, anything. Just said, you know, I want a piece of art to give as a gift. I want to provide the funding for this. And that was kind of the birth of Becky's new car.
I remember something about that. Somebody wrote a story about this whole process and said that they showed up for read-throughs and for dress rehearsals and things like that as well.
Just... Oh, I'm sure it was a thrilling thing to be, you know, kind of know that this piece of art, this script, was really a gift between this couple.
She is Carrie Steinbach, who is director of the Phipps Center for the Arts production of Becky's New Car. Well, tell us about the cast.
Well, it's a relatively small cast. There are seven characters, Becky and her husband and son, who live together in a town, something like Seattle. It doesn't say it is Seattle, but a town very much like Seattle. Mm-hmm. And there's also a coworker of Becky's at her workplace. And then the other characters are this millionaire who meets her and the millionaire's daughter, and also another woman who is a neighbor of the millionaire. And that's the entire cast.
Huh. So who are the actors playing these roles?
Becky Foster is played by Michelle Storm, who is from Woodbury. Her husband is played by Dan Bushman, who I believe is a Hudson resident. Her millionaire friend is played by Don Lindemann.
Well, let's move on to talking about you a little bit. We had a conversation before we started this about your work in theater, and how did you get started way back whenever?
Well, 20, way back is really way back.
Five years ago or so.
Well, I've been interested in theater since I was a girl, and I've been doing it for a very long time, but did end up getting an undergraduate degree in theater, and then from there continued taking graduate-level coursework and began probably 20-some years ago working as a freelance director in community theaters, academic theater, even worked in a church setting for a church that used drama in the church every week, and have been kind of just continuously doing it for quite some time.
Now, you've directed plays mostly in the Twin Cities area, is that right, or have you spread out?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Twin Cities area, which has been my home for Well, I was out of town for a while my husband was in grad school, but this has basically been my home my whole life. So, yeah, all my experience has been here in the Twin Cities, other than one production that I did take to a Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland, but that originated here.
Ah, now you bring up the Fringe Festival, and the Minnesota Fringe Festival has gotten to be kind of a big deal over the years. Can you talk a little bit about that experience of taking a play to the Fringe Festival?
Yeah, it actually was a play written by a local playwright who does a lot of writing for children's theater. Her name is Claudia Haas. She has also done some directing of children's theater at the Phipps Center for the Arts as well. She approached me, and she had gotten a slot in the Fringe Festival and knew that she wanted to develop a piece that she had been writing and working on for a number of years but had not yet published. I cast it and began working on it. We workshopped. Claudia was really great about allowing us to play with the script and just kind of find our way around it. It was kind of a twist on the Cinderella story set in Italy called La Bella Cinderella.
Hmm.
So we spent time working through that script, and the Fringe Festival is a really great experience because you get to expose what is usually very new work that hasn't been seen before. So it was a really fun experience for me to do.
Now, you told me before that you are a freelance director, and you, the way you were running through your schedule, it seems incredible to me, but when you finish up with Becky's New Car, as soon as opening night comes, then you start working on something else. Is that
That's
right?
That's true, yes.
How do you keep all that stuff straight?
Well, I don't know that I always do, but yeah, it is a pretty busy life right now because I finished the Fringe show and went straight into Becky, and then have my read through for the next thing I'll be directing a couple of days after Becky opens. I sometimes feel like Becky running from scene to scene of my life, but I'm doing okay. I'm enjoying life quite a bit.
I was going to say, it sounds like fun.
I love what I do.
Okay.
I love directing.
Great. Well, we've been visiting with Carrie Steinbach, director of the Phipps Center for the Arts production of Becky's New Car. The show opens Friday, September 13th, and runs weekends through September 29th. For ticket information, use your favorite internet search engine to search for the Phipps Center for the Arts, and they'll take care of you. Carrie Steinbach, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for this opportunity. It's been fun.
Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering home mortgage applications online, as well as information about the process, payment amounts, title insurance, mortgage insurance, and more. More at wisconsincu.org.
Support also comes from Visit Winona, where intense fall color meets the noisy spectacle of tundra swans, pelicans, geese, and cranes on their annual migration down the Mississippi Flyway. Visit Winona.com. This is the year to discover Winona's outdoors.
A couple of Spectrum memoranda on this Thursday morning edition. Let's see. The exhibit We'll Show You Ours is on display at the L.E. Phillips Public Library in Eau Claire now through October 15th. It's recent works by members of the library's Visual Arts Committee, including Jill Kelly, Eric Lee, Janice Roberts, Barbara Schaefer, John Thorpe, and more. There's a reception this evening, Thursday, from 7 to 8:30 p.m., and that is in the gallery. There is a concert and night sky thing beginning at 7 p.m. Saturday at Hunt Hill Audubon Sanctuary in Sorona. Live music and then exploration of the constellations and more with physics and astronomy expert Bradley Peterson. And he's from UW-Barron County. Information at hunthill.org. The music focus today continues with two favorites of many, Ed Willett and Cheryl Leah, a favorite because of the anticipation of hearing what they'll do next. Their mission is status quo no. Ed plays the cello and sings when he feels like it. Cheryl sings about as naturally and purely as spring water, always able to add that spring water to a shot of something stronger when necessary. They've appeared as Chance, the duo. Now it's Chance, the 4-0. They're taking the stage of the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls with that relatively new quartet. So I called Ed Willett to find out more and to thank him for a recent tuneful transmission. Well, you were able to send me some of your new recorded music. I loved it. Very inventive. Fresh-sounding stuff, I thought.
Well, thank you.
Where does the writing process begin and end for you guys? And do you collaborate on everything?
Yeah. Cheryl and I have been... This is our 27th year of collaborating on things. And each one of us will bring something in and to the other and run it by and say, what do you think? And then it needs to percolate for a while. We each take it into our corners and then bring it back and work it around. But, yeah, you know, there's been so many different ways that things have come about. It's not a formula at all, I can say that. It's whatever strikes you, whatever gets your ear and won't leave you has been our experience. If something hooks you, an idea, a phrase or a melody, then you're it. You got to work on it.
Well, you know, as consummate musicians, you must practice a lot. Do you find that you write music a little bit every day?
We try to, yeah. We try to. That's when it's going the best. Sometimes the business of being a musician gets in the way, as everyone knows. Yeah. You know, it's hard to keep those two aspects going at once. But the best way is to stay in the game all the time. And that's just a really nice atmosphere to be in anyway. I think most writers feel best when something's coming, you know, when they're creating something. Mm-hmm. So we try to stay there as much as we can.
I was going to say that your Saturday show at the Festival Theater sounds very special, but, you know, I believe that you guys approach every opportunity to be on stage as very special, whether it's as two people, four people, or solo. Is that...
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, after you've been in the business this long, you realize, or I did some time ago, that every opportunity is incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, every opportunity, when you get an audience that you can share with and go back and forth with and have a great, memorable experience, that is so valuable and takes so much orchestration to get that to happen, no matter on whether it's for thousands of people or for 100 people. And then I learned that from Cheryl. Cheryl came up with incredible background of professional entertainers when she was in Las Vegas for so many years. In her formative years coming out of San Diego, went to Las Vegas and worked with incredible performers. One of the main precepts is it doesn't matter if there's two people or 2,000 people, you give it the whole deal. And we do that. And it's as much for you don't want to come to the end of the performance and not have experienced it, I think, is where we came to after years. Is we don't want to come to the end and have been distracted by how many people there were or what this person thought. We just want to be in that moment and really enjoy it.
You have some guest artists planning on showing up Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know, we had to leave the Big Top this last year.
Yeah.
It was a thing. We needed more time to concentrate on our music, and we were kind of getting swallowed up in all of that. But we did remain working with a couple of the members of the Blue Canvas Orchestra, the house band there, and that's Tom Mitchell and Jane Alexson. And so we started this quartet last February and just having an excellent time with it. They're both incredibly characterful players, and they're really good friends of ours, so the vibe is off the charts good.
Sounds
really
cool.
Good vibe. And, you know, when I go to a concert, I want to see people having fun and, you know, enjoying the process. So you'll certainly get that if you come to that concert. We have a blast playing with each other.
To identify them further, Jane plays bass, Tom is a drummer. You had a great quote about Tom.
Oh.
I loved it. Give it to us.
You know, Tom, when you watch him, he's in ecstasy. And I just said... basically that if he had any more fun playing the drums, he'd probably get arrested for it, you know. He's done a lot of acting as well as playing. He splits his time. I mean, he's as much fun to watch as he is to listen to. And you know, this band is trying to use the strengths and the character of its players rather than us imposing on them our vision of things or anything like that. It's more... okay, I know these people. I've known them for a long time. What do I feel is really incredible thing about them, and how does that work into our music?
That's Ed Willett, who along with Cheryl Leah and Jane Alexson and Tom Mitchell are known as Chance, and they're now a quartet. They're going to be playing Saturday evening at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Kind of a wonderful venue. Well, what's in the show Saturday night? What are you going to play?
Well, we're going to play maybe about 75% original tunes. Provocative. The lyrics are strong, and they come from a place of some crossover between the chamber music world, which I came from, and the sort of R&B and groove music world that Jane Alexon and Cheryl. Jane and Cheryl, you got to see this. This is a dynamic duo that cool. put a whole new spin on things, because Jane's very into groove and funk, and she brings that. So that, and then a couple of, we always like to do covers, something that's written by somebody else, but we put a spin, an unexpected spin. We've always, Cheryl and I have both had the idea about doing other people's music, that you always have to make it your own. When you try to cover any tune on the cello, it's nothing's written for the cello that comes from pop culture or rock, you know. So you're already into that realm of reworking it, taking it apart, and coming up with something new on it.
Why the politician man loves to lie.
Give me the reason.
Why they watch us fight and die and play the other guy. We don't know why.
Give me the reason.
Why the people on the street ain't got a need to
leave. Give me the reason.
Why they won't let us grow wheat. It's deceit.
Greed, greed, greed. We gotta put a stop to this.
I wrote this. Where do you go when you play? Is it like a wonderful garden, Ed, or a nice state-of-the-art factory that makes useful things? Or is it a, is it a ride in the country in a convertible? Where do you go as soon as the music starts?
Oh, that's a great question. I never been asked that. It's a little bit of a kind of a sanctuary place to me. It's a place where, because I need to focus intently to make it happen, the rest of the world drops away for sure.
Uh-huh.
And I try to get inside whatever message is happening, whether it's instrumental music or whatever the emotion is that I'm trying to mm-hmm. portray, I'm trying to get inside that. That's something I learned from Cheryl. When she sings a song, she embodies the song. It takes her over, you know. When yeah. we're doing a recording in the studio and it's a sad tune, she's crying at the end of the tune. It's very visceral and very real. And so that's my aspiration, is to try to do that. It works pretty well. I mean, musicians are lucky because we can escape into this world whenever we want to, and that's part of what keeps you going back there. Is, mm-hmm. you know, at least for, it's so hard to clear your head of, especially in this age, so many details and all this input. There's so much going on that anything that can help you focus in on one thing is just a real beautiful thing.
Sure, and it's marvelous to be playing with people with whom you are so comfortable, because at no time do you have to worry about the mechanics.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we played with Tom now for 20 years. I can't believe it, but that's when things happen in the performance that make it not a knockoff, but a one-of-a-kind, and that's, we pride ourselves in that. There's no two performances that are going to be the same, and what gives us that ability to do that is being comfortable with each other, and okay, they take a left there, never seen them turn left there before, but I'm going to follow.
I think that makes an audience feel good, knowing they're getting, you know, an exclusive.
Yeah, I like that. I don't want to go to a concert and know that the lead guitar player plays that same solo every single night. For me, it's like when somebody says, gives you a compliment, but it's not designed for you at all, you know. It was the generic.
sure.
Thing. You know, I mean, it doesn't. So, yeah, we put a lot of stock in keeping it original and keeping it spontaneous.
You talked about Cheryl. She is the singer's singer. Does she walk around singing while doing other stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Does she?
Yeah, she sings everywhere in the grocery store, and she doesn't know she's doing it, which is priceless. Because it's not soft, you know. You'll just start singing. And one of my great pleasures is to hear her sing anything, because she can take a tune that I don't even like, and when she sings it and puts her spin on it, I'm starting to get that one, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been a lifelong pleasure of mine to hear her sing, not only in performance, but
sure.
in the car and everywhere.
Cool. Yeah, and I think what people may not realize is you're not just a cellist. You are a vocalist as well, and a pretty good one.
Oh, thanks. I feel good when I'm singing, so hopefully other people okay. get that.
Well, Ed Willett, congratulations, and thanks for all the years you've been entertaining us. We look forward to even bigger things. And, hey, if not bigger, then certainly novel and inventive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Al. Appreciate the call. I really do.
Chance with some of their original tune Greed pasted in the middle. The show is Saturday night, 7:30. This will be one of those concerts from which you'll drive home mighty happy you decided to go. Information is at festivaltheater.org. Spectrum Memos, the Flambeau Valley Arts Association, has announced its 2013-2014 season, kicking off with Beleza, Funkalicious Samba Soul, next Saturday, September 21st. 7:30 p.m. All performances are at the Ladysmith Auditorium. Info online at flambeauvalley.com/FVAA. The Old Gem Theater in New Richmond offers a fall music theater class preceding their production of Annie Jr. in December. Classes will meet on Mondays and Thursdays from September 23rd until December 5th. Details by phone and online at oldgemtheater.com. What else is going on? The River Falls Public Library, as we know from last week, is hosting sand painter Michael Augustin in an unusual exhibit that will be through September 21st. Spectrum West, as always, it has been fun. Thanks, Rachel Vick, for your promotional aid. Thanks, Jim Oliver, for being the generous guy you are. Thank you guys out there for being here. I sure hope you'll do it again next Thursday morning at 10. Next week, we have a new piano CD from a local guy. We'll hear about the publication Verse Wisconsin, all about poetry. Blue Gold alums return to read their work. And, of course, another Oliver Report. I'm Al Ross. Have a nice Friday, a nice weekend, and I'll see you next Thursday.